In the name of Jesus, I speak. I think yesterday I have given you a brief outline on the book of Micah, right? And I think we can turn to the handout. Turn to page 21. Remember I told you how I divide the book into two major sections. Yeah? And based on some of the key concepts in the book of Micah. Right? So, in a prophetic sense, I'm more inclined to believe that this book is about the history of the church, right from the time of the apostle and to the time of the true Jesus church. Okay? And I have given you reasons, right, why I do that. Now, I don't think you need to take down any notes, to be honest, okay? If you are keen, you can see all here. This is what I have done. But unfortunately, I have not finished yet. I'm up to chapter 7 now. Okay, so I think every chapter, there are about 15 pages. So I don't think you need to take any note, to be honest. Okay, if you are keen, then I can send you an e-copy when I finish writing. Okay, so I hope that the class can be a more interactive one. If you have questions, feel free to ask. Now, what I want to do is, I want to go through with you, let me see. Okay, on the guidelines. Okay, can we turn to page 22, right? Page 22. Alright, now, like what I said to you before, when you read the book of Micah, they use specific terms or places or country, alright, to denote or to give out specific reason or to tell us a special meaning concerning the message, right? Now, I think I have given you some example. Yeah, let's look at them again. Chapter 1, okay? Then to chapter 1. Now, what I'm doing now is to not exactly help you, but to give you some idea as to how we can go about studying the book. Right? So that next time, you can just, you know what I'm saying, okay? Read the book yourself, probably with this direction in mind. Okay? Now, chapter 1, yeah? Chapter 1? Alright. I give you a very simple example. Verse 13, yeah? All inhabitants of Lachish harness the chariots to the swift steeds. Now, can you see the bracket? I think if you are using an NKJV, here it says, she was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion. Right? Now, it seems that this place has a lot to do with the beginning of the sins of Zion. Right? Then, if this name is given, then you need to think about the historical setting or whatever, things that happened in this place. Right? And try to figure out exactly what Micah is talking about. You get what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Okay, this is only one example. Yeah. Right, now, come to the guideline. Right? I think there is no other way to be familiar with the Bible. One of the important things to do is to read the book as many times as you can. This is what I have been saying to all the YTTC students. Read as many times as you can. Okay? Now, to be honest, yeah, I think I have read the book, yeah? At least 20 times. Right? Just to make sure that I know the facts. I may not know all the facts, but at least I know some of the facts. Okay? So we have to keep reading and reading and reading and reading until we are very familiar with the book. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Okay, there's one thing that you need to do. Eh? Right now, the next thing is, I think I have already told you yesterday, you need to section the book. So, you know, our English version, so it comes so handy. You know why? Because the book has been sectionized for us already. Sometimes we just follow the section given. But I tell you, sometimes the sections are not very accurate. Right? Are not very accurate. So if possible, you do your own sectioning. That's the best way. Right? And then, again, I said there is no fixed way of doing it. Yeah? To section the book basically helps you to understand the book better. Alright? So, this is what I have done. The third one, okay? This is what I have done. And also the first one. Remember I showed you yesterday? Yeah? Remember? Right? So, go back home. Okay, class, I expect you to be quite sound, quite well-versed with the scriptures already. Right? Because here we don't want just to spoon-feed you all the time, telling you the facts, you know, so you just jot them down. No. We want you to do the sectioning yourself, all right, if possible. Right? You know, the important thing is, yeah, when you read the Bible, you should be able to derive teachings from your reading. Yeah, you do not just listen to me. You should be able to gather important teachings. But as we know that prophetic books are quite difficult to read and quite difficult to understand. That's why I hope that through what I have provided for you, it can serve as a reference to you in your future study of the book. Is that okay? Alright? Alright, we move on, yeah? Alright, now, the next thing that you need to do is to break down, okay? Come to the third point, yeah? Now, after you have sectioned the book, yeah? Like what I did here, you break it down into different sub-parts or subsections, right? Why? Because after you have done the exercise, it means that you have reorganized the facts in the book, and it helps you remember better. You get what I'm saying? In fact, you see what I've done, eh? I have done more than just that. I give you an example. Chapter 1. Okay. You know, after I have sectionized the book, yeah? Okay? For each chapter, I further divide each subsections into sub-points, small points. You get what I'm saying? So I know exactly what the book is talking about. Because this is my work. I have organized it through my mind or whatever. So I remember it quite well. So if you want to ask me about facts for Micah, probably I can tell you why. Because I have done it myself. You know what I'm saying? There's no easy way out. We need to work on it. If you really want to be conversant with the scriptures, this is a bit technical. It sounds a bit technical, but it helps me a lot in preparing lessons or whatever. Okay, this one I have. Right? Show you chapter 7. But this is not finished because I haven't finished writing. Okay? So I break it down into more sub parts. small points to help myself understand. Okay. All right. Now, come back. Okay. Now, page 22. Now, when we study the prophetic books, I think one of the things that we need to pay attention to is the prophet himself. Right? Study the life of the prophet and to find out whether he was faithful or not to the work that was given to him. Right? I think that helped us a lot. Now, in order to know the prophet, yeah, then we need to find out or to understand his mindset, okay? How he felt about a certain situation, or when the word of God came to him, how did he respond to the word of God? You get what I'm saying? Okay, I'll give you a simple example, not in my turn, okay? Not in my turn. Turn to Joel. Now, we know that the book of Joel is also a book of warning, yeah? And how the Joel warned the priests, the people, to turn back to God by changing themselves. Now, look at the mentality or the attitudes of the prophet himself, all right? Read chapter 1, verse 19. Okay? Now, when he received the message from God, how did he respond to it? O Lord, to you I cried out, for fire has devoured the open pasture, as a flame has burned all the trees of the field. Alright? Now, that was the response from who? From the prophet himself. Alright? Now, so in this way, actually we can link the mentality of the prophet to the message that he received or the message that he was about to preach. Okay? And I think here it teaches us a very important lesson. We do not just go about preaching the gospel, especially within a church, or next time if you are given an opportunity to serve in the church board or whatever, right? I think it is so important that we need to have the heart of a prophet like Micah or Joel, right? Even when you see that someone is to be rebuked, is to be reproached, or is to be chastised, we should also feel sorry for him or her. Okay? That is the spirit of a true prophet. I tell you, to be a preacher is so easy, okay? You just stand up on the pulpit. And after that, bye-bye. Yeah, why not? You know, I only come here for 1 week. Right? Edinburgh Church. And next week, this coming Saturday, I'll be preaching in Gifford Park Church. 2 services. After that, blah, 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 bye bye. I go back down. What can you do? But this is not the way. You get what I'm saying? The spirit of a prophet is important. Okay? Not only you tell the truth. First of all, you must feel the pain as well. Okay? Associate yourself with the people. That's very important. Okay. Now, so study the life. Eh? Okay. I want you to turn back to Micah chapter 6. Okay. Here is another example. Yeah, another example. That's why I said the mindset or the mentality of the prophet, yeah, how he expressed himself, are scattered all over the book. Okay. Now, chapter 6, verse 6. But what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offering? What calf a year old? With calf a year old? Now, Micah was asking a question. He posed few questions to himself and not to the people. You get what I'm saying? Right? So, in a certain situation, okay, when he saw that the people are not doing too well, are not doing fine. Right? Now the question that he asked is first for himself. Is for himself. I think that is very important as well. Very, very important. Right? For us to realize this. You get what I'm saying? Come in, come in, come in. Bye bye.
God bless you all. See you in Africa.
Alright. Right, we turn to the next page, yeah? Right. Now, I think when you study the prophetic books, yeah, you need to pay attention to the conversation between God and the prophet. Right? You get what I'm saying? And I think there are not many examples in Micah, but I can show you a few. One, at least. We turn to chapter 1. Okay? Now, I assume you must have read chapter 1 already, after so many days. Okay? Have you read chapter 1 already? Don't lie, lah. Have you read? Okay, now, verse 2 to verse 7, can you please tell me which sections is the words of the prophet and which section is the words of God? Word that's spoken by, from the mouth of the prophet and words spoken by God. Verse 2 to verse 7. Anyone? Sorry? Yes, 2 to 5 is the prophet and 6 to 7 is from God. Can you see now? Hello, are you following me? Yeah? You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, so by reading the words spoken by the prophet, from there you can understand what kind of person he was. Right? How he reacted to a certain situation in his life. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, like all other books, prophetic books, we find that sometimes God allowed his prophet to do some symbolic acts. Right? But quite strange, in Micah, he was not told to do any funny actions. Put it this way. Like Isaiah, what did God ask him to do? What did God ask him to do? Good try. What did God ask him to do? Naked. Very good. For how long? Don't know. I needed to write anyway. Okay. God asked him. Okay, where is it? Chapter 20, isn't it? For how long?
3 years. 3 years.
For 3,
right?
Yes. My God. 3 years.
3 years.
Okay, you get what I'm saying? Yeah? You remember Ezekiel, yeah? Ezekiel, what did God ask him to do? What's that? Eat what? Okay, apart from that. in his ministry, during his ministry. You know, he has to bake cake on what? I think, yes, on cow dung. You get what I'm saying? You know, sometimes the prophets were put to test as well. Why? Because God wanted them to feel, right? How God was feeling at the time as well. How painful God was. So I think if we are the messengers of God, then we must be able to feel the heart of God before we can proclaim a message effectively and from the bottom of our heart. You get what I'm saying now? Okay. You know this, who is this? Ezekiel or Jeremiah? The wife died very young. God said, "You cannot cry. I'm going to take your wife away from you." Who's that? Hey, me. Where is it? You know, if you are in YTTC, I will tell you this is a test question. All of you fell. The Lord said, "You cannot cry." Who's that? Yisijie. Yes. Our foreign sister. No, not foreign. Our sister from Taiwan. It's correct. Give a round of applause. Okay, very good. Okay, chapter 24. Where is it? Verse 15 onwards. Yeah? Okay, read verse 16. "Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandal on your feet. Do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrow." One stroke. You know? How God killed her, we do not know. Okay? Now, do you understand now? So, when you study prophetic books, you need to study the character as well. The prophet himself. And see how he responded to every instruction of the Lord. Okay? I think we can learn many, many precious teachings, or great lessons. Right? Okay, now come back, yeah? Come back to the handout. Page 23. Now, one of the things that I want you to do is to find out the reason why God punished different nation or punished the nation of Israel. Now, since we have studied Zephaniah, can you tell me what are the reasons? That's why you see that yesterday I did not mention the reasons. I purposely did that. So that today I can ask you a question. Why did God punish them? You might have got it wrong. Sifan Yasu. Find out the reasons, why God punished them. Why does God punish His children? Pride. Good try. There is a specific reason given in the book. What is that reason? Chapter 1, verse 17. Carry. Okay, I will bring this distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. You get what I'm saying now? So when you read that, you need to find out the reasons as to why God had decided to punish them. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? So I think this helped us to be cautious and alert as well. Right? Okay, now, we go on, yeah? Right. If I ask you, we go on, yeah? Find out the reason for the downfall of Israel or other nation, the causes of their downfall. Right? Now, if you read Micah, then you begin to understand why the people of God have fallen away from them, have fallen away from God. You get what I'm saying? Right? Find out the causes. I think that is very important as well. Okay? Alright. Now I think the rest you can read them yourself. Alright. One other thing I want to mention is when you study Minor Prophet, try to look for a theme or themes in the book. Like one of the common themes in the book is restoration. Right? We find that punishment always follows by what? Restorations. Right? Judgment always followed by restorations. Right? Now, before they can be revived, can be restored, God always gave them specific instruction as to how they can be revived and restored. Right? Therefore we need to understand them as well. Okay. So far so good. That's it. That's it. If you have time, you can read through the notes yourself anyway. Okay, I think I will leave out the next section, yeah? Introduction to Micah the prophet. So I will talk about it probably tomorrow or the day after. Right, the day after. Alright, now, I don't think I can finish the book of Micah. Probably I will pick out some section, right, to discuss with you. Alright? And what I want to do now is I want you to look at chapter 1. Can you see? I try to be a theologian. You know, there are many names given in chapter 1, okay? And I try to, of course you can find the meaning in any concordance or whatever, okay? But I try to figure out the reason, the rationale behind it, why these names are given, right? I try to understand them, okay? Now, this is what I have done, right? Now, I want you to read chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, can you see the term incurable wounds? Wounds are incurable. I don't know what the Chinese is. Incurable mean 不能治疗的伤. Okay, now, and after that what happened? We find that you give different names, alright? Now the first one is Geth. Now if you find the meaning, it means what? Wine press. You don't have to take down notes. If you want, you can. I go. You don't have to take down. Okay. Now, it always associated with punishment. Punishment, yeah, this one. Okay? Now, this bit, yeah? Punishment. Okay, forget about the city, yeah? Now, it is shameful for a foreign nation to see God punishing his people. It is a time of profanity to his name. Right? Cannot see. What's that? bigger. 1 to 5.
Too small.
Just not 150.
I did 150.
200 then.
Not so much today.
Huh?
150.
Okay. Now the second name, a house of dust. Okay? And if you read please read verse 10, yeah? Verse 10. The second part it says, weep not at all in Beth Ephra, roll yourself in the dust. Now what does it mean here? If you find out the meaning of this, yeah, Beth Ephra is actually a house of dust. It's a place of warning. So the writer says it's better for you not to go there. Why? It's not good for you just to go through a ritual crying, right? Which is not very sincere. But rather it is better for you to mourn right now. Okay? Quickly as possible. You get what I'm saying? Right? Because the punishment of God is coming soon. Right? So if you can find out all the meaning, then when you read Micah, you find out, that's what it means. You get what I'm saying now? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Right? Now, one point that I would like to highlight to you is this one. Lachish. Okay, I want you to read verse 13. Verse 13. All inhabitants of Lachish, harness the chariots to the swift steeds. Meaning that you must quickly depart from Lachish. Why? Why? Here it says, she was the beginning of sins to the daughter of Zion, for the transgression of Israel were found in you. Okay, now, here you find that this place has become a symbol to the beginning of the sin of Judah. Now, can someone tell me about this city? Okay. Now, I better just show you. Okay. Where is it? I think I got the verse there somewhere. 2 Kings. We turn to 2 Kings. Chapter 18. Now, we know that Hezekiah was one of the kings during the time of Micah, yeah? Okay, now we read verse 14. Verse 14. Just like you want to read them.
Verse 14.
Yeah.
Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, and Kish, to the saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria says, Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold.
Good. Verse 15.
Verse 15, so Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house.
16.
At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria.
Now, can someone just sum up the actions of Hezekiah here? What kind of action was that? What kind of action was that? He stripped off the gold and silver from the temple and gave them to? What kind of action is that? Okay. Okay, desecration. Okay. Alright. Okay, if you think about, you know, silver and gold, yeah, from the temple especially, that belongs to who? Now they gave them away, yeah? What kind of action is that?
Stealing?
No, if he was stealing, he should have pocketed the silver and gold. What do you call that? Because this place became a symbol to the beginning of the sin of Zion. What is that? Is that not a form of compromise? Yeah? It's a form of compromise. Is that also? Okay. Now, if you look at the entire history of Israel, and also if you look at the church in the time of the apostle, yeah, and the decline of the nation of Israel, all began with what? Compromise. And you also see that the church in the time of the apostle, they also compromised. When they allowed false teaching to infiltrate the church, what happened? The church declined as a result. Okay, that's why the Bible says this is the beginning what? Of the sin of Zion. You know that Zion represents what? The church. Right? That's why I believe that the first three chapters records not only the history concerning Micah at the time, but it is also a prophetic message concerning the apostolic church. That's why the wound is incurable, cannot be cured. You know where I'm coming from now? Yeah? Okay, with this, we come back to chapter 1. Chapter 1. Alright, now we can read through the entire chapter. The entire chapter. Okay. We know that verse 1 to verse 7 here talk about what? Talk about God's punishment, yeah? God's punishment was about to come, right? And God is going to make Samaria into a heap of ruins in the field. Right? Now, if you were Micah, put yourself in the shoes of Micah. When this message is given to you, and you are told, what happened? To go and spread the oracle of God, yeah, the message of God. Now, how would you feel? And think about this as well, because you have nothing to do with the sin of the people. And now you have been chosen by God to spread the good tidings. How would you feel? You feel very honored. You see, God has chosen me. Amongst all these people, look, I'm the only one chosen by God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, pray. You! Why do you sin against God? You get what I'm saying? But look at the mindset of Micah. He is a totally different person as compared to me. You get what I'm saying? Right, we read verse 8. Now, before he continued with his message, how did he respond to the message that he received? He cried. Isn't he? Did he cry? Yes, he did. Can you see the heart of a true prophet? Yeah? It's not just about condemning. I tell you, it's easy. It's very easy to condemn. So next time when you become or if you want to go to Africa to preach or whatever, if you become a leader, you must remember this. Right? You must remember this. You must have compassion for those who live in sin. Even though we hate sin so much. But we must do whatever we can to bring them back. Okay. I hope you tonight, again, this is your homework, yeah? Homework. Hello, class. Wake up for your homework. Class. Please look at me. I'm not that ugly after all. Why do you humble yourself so much? There's no need for that. Look at me, please. Okay. Tonight, I want you to read through the book of Micah 5 times. I tell you, I'm not very demanding. Okay? If you're not happy, 10 times. Any more protests? Happy, yeah? 15 times then, yeah. Happy. Read more. Okay, 5 times. Okay? 5 times, right? I tell what, yeah? While you are reading through the book, yeah? trying to find out how the Micah coped with different situations. And tell me tomorrow, eventually, how did he feel? How did he respond to the situation in which he was? Right? You can see a change of attitude on the part of Micah. You can see it gradually. You can see that he became very mature. He was a mature prophet. So we find that, yeah, don't expect, yeah, when the prophet first came out to preach, he must be perfect. No, I tell you, it's not true. It's not true. In actual fact, he learned to become perfect. Alright? Is that okay? Tonight, you read 5 times. Yeah? You know, I will find out whether you have read 5 times or not. I have my way to find out. I tell you, I have my way to find out. Okay, when I ask certain questions, if you don't know them, it means that you have not read 5 times. You get what I'm saying? So next time, don't come here. In my lesson, you don't have to come. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Okay. Alright. Now, I want you to read verse 8. Read verse 8. Now, here we see that he cried and howled, and he said he will go stripped and naked and will make a wailing like the jackals and mourning like the ostriches. Right? Now, we can see that how serious he takes the message or the task that he has been given. Well, it's not lightly. I think he actually put his heart into the work. Right? And that's why, what did he do? He said he will go stripped and naked. Go stripped and naked. Well, it's a mournful sign. Right? Like he cried, you know. Why my people were about to be destroyed? What happened to them? You know, the heart for the people is important. Now, I assume all of you here are RE teachers, am I right? Yeah? So, sometimes the way we teach our students, yeah, tell us a lot about our personality, our character, and our concern for the students. You know, sometimes when I look at certain RE teachers, I'm very touched by them. Serious. They not only teach them during lessons, but we find that during the during weekdays or whatever, you know, their contacts, you know, bring them out, help them, you know, just like a big brother, big sister. You get what I'm saying? That kind of concern. And we do not just teach them, okay, today I have taught you on Micah chapter 1, bye bye. No more contact. Yeah, until the next week when you meet up again. I teach you chapter 2, blah, 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 blah. Bye bye. This is not a good teacher. Good teacher means you care for the student as well. Okay? Just like Micah did here. But, so, I tell you what, if you do go to Africa, okay, you find that our brothers and sisters there are very different from us. I think some of you have seen the slide, last night. Okay? They are very poor. And they are very different from us. I don't think we can easily empathize with them, with their situation. It's not easy. Right? Unless we have the hearts from God, then you begin to know how pitiful these people have been and how blessed we are to a certain extent. You feel what I'm saying? Right? Okay. So basically, yeah, this is chapter 1. If you want to find out the meaning of the words, I've done my exercise anyway. You are free to have one. I don't think you need a hard copy anyway. I'll just email you. Is this one a complete email list? No.
Something is wrong.
Okay, I will get Esther to do it for me. My PA. Okay? Is that okay? All right, now we move on, yeah, to chapter 2. All right, now, chapter 2, you can divide chapter 2 into three parts, yeah? The first part is 1 to 5, the second, 6 to... Let me see my chapter 2. I follow my Bible. Okay. Can you see? Where's zoom in there? View. Oh, okay. 200, yeah? Okay. Now, you see these people have become so evil, yeah, if you read chapter 2 carefully, they actually thought about transgression
on that.
I think this is a very important point that I would like to raise probably tomorrow, okay, to allow you to understand how we can cultivate ourselves before we go to bed. I'm being honest. I think you must have realized till now, before you go to bed, yeah, unless you're so tired, you don't fall asleep immediately. How many of you can fall asleep within 5 minutes? Raise your hand. Only one. Two. To be honest, me, 2 minutes. Serious. Sometimes my wife says, still talking to me. I'm so tired. 2 minutes. Okay. Now, how many of you fall asleep, said, within half an hour, or within half an hour? Okay, 1 hour? Maybe more, isn't it? 2 hours, yeah? Okay, now, during that period of time, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I tell you, that is the time for spiritual cultivation. I'm not joking. Serious. Very, very important point to remember. What do you think about? Okay, I tell you, if today you offended me, if I cannot sleep, I tell you during that 2 hours I will be always thinking about it. Is that not true? Tell me, is that not true? I think all these things. Is that not true? When someone has offended you, yeah, said today, okay, and you cannot sleep, keep thinking about it for 2 hours, sometimes even longer. Many, many sleepless nights. Is that not true? It's true. That's why I said, yeah? Tomorrow we'll raise this point, we'll discuss, okay? And these people that devise evil on bad, that is very bad. Okay? My time is up. I think so. Unless you can skip your tea break, then I'll continue. You want tea break or you want lesson? Up to you. It's your choice. Serious. Which one is more important? You tell me. You see, I know you people. Right?